Welcome to Losing a Child, Always Andy's Mom. On this podcast, we journey through the devastating experience of the death of a child. Grief is seldom discussed openly in our culture, and the death of a child makes people feel even more uncomfortable. We approach the topic openly and honestly, speaking to people who have lost loved ones and experts who help care for them. Whether you are a parent experiencing loss or someone who wants to support another going through this tragedy, this podcast strives to offer hope and help.
Welcome to episode 242 of Losing a Child, Always Andy's Mom. I'm Marcy Larson, Andy's mom. So this episode is from our live stream that we had earlier this week, and it's discussing grandparent grief. And you'll notice that Gwen kind of just jumps right in because I'm still trying to do a few technical things, so she'll get started. And then the other thing that you'll notice is that we want to do a tribute to one of our listeners and former guests on the show at the beginning. So if you want to listen to the episode that we're referring to at the beginning, that is going to be episode 215, TT's Mom. So be sure to do that if you want to learn more about Andrea, Peter, and their daughter, Taylor, or TT. Also, I am booking guests for the summer, so if you feel like you would like to share your story, please email me at marcy@andysmom.com. And then I also want to take a special another thank you to our guests that we have on today. I know that you will learn so much from them. And if this is an episode that you want to sit down and listen to with your own family, it'd probably be a pretty good idea.
One of the interesting things is families are also unique and different. My parents would call and tell me about their dentist appointment and that they had a filling on their, 23rd molar, whatever, their second molar. And my mother-in-law had a lump removed from her breast and never told us. I found out like 6 years later. And wow. So the difference of having one family be more closed and they keep things really private versus my parents telling me when they go to the dentist. I mean, my mom had a crown today. Do you want to hear about it? Like, I know everything. So today's topic is going to be about grandparent grief. That's what we're going to talk about. But I do want to take another opportunity to do something else first. So all of you may remember, my regular listeners will remember, episode number 215, it was TT's mom. TT's mom is Andrea, and TT's given name is Taylor. And she came on to talk about, obviously, the loss of her daughter. And it was their only child. And she and her husband, Peter, had an amazingly close relationship. She, if you remember, she was one that said that TT was the most wanted baby ever because they went through 9 rounds of IVF to get her. And then we're going through IVF again to try to give Taylor us the sibling. And then Andrew was diagnosed with cancer and the whole thing had to stop. And their family ended up being this family of 3. Now, what you don't know is in the last few weeks, Peter, too, has died. And so now Andrea is, as she said, now kind of, she had said before, they were a 3-legged table, a 2-legged table, and now I feel like she's a 1-legged table. I just was heartbroken for her when she emailed me, and it's funny because after Peter died, she had gone to bed, and she was trying to think of where she might want donations to go in Peter's memory when people donate money. As, they often do. Uh-huh. And she was so gracious. She said she thought of what Peter would want. And she thought of how the podcast had been so helpful for her and Peter to get through this grief. And it was just such a help for them overall that she wanted that money to go and help support the podcast and help the podcast, which, I just was blown away by that generosity. And another thing that I remember from that interview was that not only was she listening to the podcast, but she was having family and friends listen. Okay. And she thought it made those people so much better equipped to help her. And so it's funny because she said the podcast and they all were like, yep, that's the right thing, because they all knew about it, because it wasn't like she was doing this secretively. I know, isn't it? I thought it was awesome too. But I told her over the weekend here that I wanted to take a little bit of time to honor both Taylor and Peter. So we're going to do that here. And I just want to read, I'm going to read her, Taylor's obituary, and then what they read at the eulogy, and then read to you Peter's too, just to kind of honor them and their memory. So this is about Taylor. She was a passionate, driven, smart, and strong young woman whose smile could light up a room. Taylor, or TT as her younger cousins nicknamed her, always held family close to her heart. She loved adventuring with her mom, whether it was to Lexington Center for free bread or all the way to Italy for some gelato. Her dad taught her how to drive, and they would cruise for hours, venturing to wherever her heart desired, singing along to Summer of 69. She always looked forward to annual summer vacations on the Cape with her extended family. Her many cousins were like siblings to her, and her aunts and uncles adored her. Taylor's idea of a perfect day included driving her pickup truck with the windows down, blasting music, and sipping a large iced coffee. She was also everyone's go-to person for hair and makeup advice. Halloween was her all-time favorite holiday, and she loved celebrating in Salem. Taylor was a big music fan and loved going to concerts. Most recently, she sang all night in an Aerosmith show with her dad and danced to the crowd at a Luke Combs concert with her mom. Taylor had a love for cooking, but not necessarily for cleaning up after. All who knew her appreciated her love for others and the way she would stand up for what was right. Her passing leaves hearts torn and dreams crushed, as she was loved by all and had so much to look forward to. And this, then it goes a little more here. This is her eulogy. I don't know that we'll read kind of the whole thing, but it just starts with, "Our lives were changed forever on December 6, 1992, when our baby girl, Taylor Christina, was born. It's impossible to choose my favorite memory of Taylor, but teaching her how to drive is definitely one of the best. I took her driving for the first time when she was 13, as long as she promised not to tell her mom." So this is all Peter talking.
Yeah.
"Once she got her permit, I would pick Taylor up from school, hand her the keys, and tell her to drive wherever her heart desired. We would take the long way home, cruising down back roads and listening to my favorite rock songs, which later became her favorite rock songs. Her mom was not nearly as comfortable as I was during the whole driving process. However, after a special dinner out at Taylor's favorite restaurant, Andrea was in the back seat singing while Taylor drove. Taylor whispered to me from the driver's seat, 'Dad, I think the key to keeping mom calm when I'm driving is to be sure she's had a couple of margaritas.' When I asked her mom what her favorite memory of Taylor was, she couldn't pick one because she had millions. Ever since the day Taylor was born, the two of them would listen to oldies country music together. Andrea said singing along to the music with Taylor were the best times of her life. From King of the Road by Roger Miller to Jolene by Dolly Parton, Taylor knew every word. Taylor's love for 90s country music came soon after that, hence why Taylor's current favorite song is 'She Had Me at Heads Carolina' by Cole Swindell. My daughter was the luckiest girl in the world to have my wife as her mom." So I'm going to stop there. It does go on, and it is beautifully done, but I now want to read you. So that's a little bit just hearing from Peter. But I now want to read what Andrea wrote just about Peter just here recently. "I know that Peter and Taylor are looking down in awe. Let me share with you about this amazing man, my husband and Taylor's dad. Peter first set eyes on me at Bonanza Steakhouse in Burlington, Massachusetts in July 1974. I was 15. He was 16. He had been away with his family in Ireland when I started working there. When I walked in, he asked a coworker who I was. Bob said, 'That's Andrea Dooley. She started here last week.' Peter replied, 'I'm going to marry that girl if it's the last thing I do.' On September 10th, 1983, his wish came true, and I married the love of my life, a true testament to the fact that love at first sight exists. Peter was the most caring, affectionate, kind, hardworking, and loyal person I had ever met, and treated me like a queen from day one." And it goes on and on a little bit more about his love of cars, and just about his family a little bit growing up. But then I want to go on to the next part. When our beautiful daughter Taylor was born, Peter came out of the room shouting, "It's a girl, it's a girl." From that moment on, she was her daddy's girl, his princess. Peter and I were amazing together, but Taylor completed our family and enriched our lives in every way. I knew he was great before, but seeing him become a dad made my love for him grow in a way I didn't know was possible. I just wanted to go through that and talk a little bit about that. Obviously, I don't have time to read that whole thing either, but I just wanted to honor those two wonderful people and their mom.
Yeah,
is obviously going through a really hard time right now, but still is remembering others and how to help them as well. So
yeah.
Any words that you want to contribute here, Gwen?
I do. And when you talked to me about this, the same thing came to my mind as is in my mind right now again, is that you, Marcy, had no idea when this was born, the podcast, out of your pain and your hurt and honoring your son and, you know, the role that you were as a bereaved mom, how far the reach would go and how it would help other families. Like, you knew it helped the listeners, but just hearing how it helped their friends and family know how to treat them. And today we're going to bring families on and talk about grandparents and families. It's just a beautiful circle to me. Yeah. I mean, again, none of us wanted this role or things, but it comes back to you and Andy and you willing to risk. And I think the other thing that, you know, as you read that, you didn't know Peter or TT. You're not crying because you miss them, but you have a connection with the mom and you have a connection with every mom and dad that you've interviewed. And that's a risk that you've taken. And I don't tell you enough how I appreciate it. And I know your listeners do. I know they're going to say right on, you know, yeah, because you risk it and get to know them and their kids and their story.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gwen. And thank you so much, Andrea. And if you are listening now, you know, just so much love to you. So much. So now we are going to go on and talk about kind of our subject of the day. And our subject of the day really is talking about grandparents and grandparent grief. And I have a little bit of an apology to make to all of you now, because normally when we have one of these live streams, I will, well, with the help of Peter, my son Peter, I will put like 4 or 5 questions over the week ahead of time on Instagram, on the Instagram story, and I get lots of responses back, and I put things to Facebook and I get lots of responses back. And if those of you who know me know that we just last week had to celebrate Andy's 20th birthday without him, and wow, Gwen, it was so much harder than it has been in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, the first one was really hard. The first one was his 15th. The first one was on Easter Sunday. It was really just incredibly hard. But I did not know how much the 20th would affect me. So I'm giving you all an apology, because instead of me doing my normal full week of prepping and thinking about this, I, like, on Friday or Saturday, just put out one thing on Instagram and one thing on Facebook and did all the questions at one time. And clearly that was a bad idea because nobody responded. So
it's all right.
It's a good lesson to me. So we're not going to get a lot of responses back that way. So if you have things to contribute, definitely do them now through the chat. That will be helpful. But what we do have is I do have Dana, Brogan's mom, and Brogan's grandparents that are going to come on and join us. And I did have a wonderful email sent in from a grandmother from a mom who had asked the questions to her mother. So, and then I've got some other things. I think we have plenty to talk about, but right. I do have these wonderful guests to invite on. So I'm going to add them right now into our live stream and welcome you here.
And as you do that, I want you to know that your listeners understand. That's the cool part, is they understand like how hard this weekend was for you, and no one's holding you up to say that you have to perform at a level. We get it.
Thank you. I'm feeling bad about it, but
no, please don't. No one wants you to.
So welcome to Brogan's family.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I am going to kind of start out and let let Gwen kind of ask a couple questions here, because I think we had, you know, those are some questions that she had come up with. So do you want to go ahead and do that, Gwen?
Sure. I think one of the questions that we asked was, what was the most challenging, what did you find most challenging when you were put in that role as a grieving grandparent? What comes to your mind?
Well, just how could we help anybody, especially Jake and Dana?
But yeah.
We knew we couldn't. We knew. I asked both Jake and Dana, what can I do? I knew the answer that they gave me was going to be nothing. And that was true. So it makes it very difficult for you.
Yes.
Experience the loss of Roman ourselves, but then see him as parent, you know,
right,
and family, the others, his siblings, his grandparents, you know, it's just so devastating.
And well, I think your point is, when your kids call and they need money, you can say, hey, this is what we can give you. If their house burns, you can say, we've got, you know, you're the same size as
them. Come on, live in, right?
Yeah. Like, there's things you can do, but with this one, there wasn't anything that you could do.
No, just be there and, you know.
And we tried to be there as much as we could, but even though we tried as much as we could and knew how, it can't take their pain.
Right. And it's you know, I think so much about even watching my other kids grieve and how hard that was. And so I feel like I can see that, but like watching your baby lose their baby.
Right. But I mean,
that's hard.
Yeah, they just mentioned another layer. So they were watching their child grieve, but also their other grandchildren too. So, you know, all those layers. So when the mom mentioned we tried to be there as much as we could, you're there. But then when you go home, you're trying to do your own grief work maybe and stuff, right? Like the two of you trying to process what you've experienced.
Yeah, it's a big change.
Well, I think you were really mentioning a feeling of kind of helplessness, right? That you just don't know what to do. You just no idea what to do. And I think that is really, really common.
Very much so. Yeah. You know, the other part that I was thinking about with families is the in-law relationship. I mean, I love my mother-in-law. I feel very close to her. I think she treats me like a daughter. But there's also at the beginning, it's kind of awkward. You're trying to figure out where you fit. You're not really, you know, so we're always just trying to figure that out. And sometimes that takes a while. And sometimes the loss happens before we really know what our roles are as grandparents or in-laws or that kind of thing. And so sometimes it, even if your family isn't one that walks around on eggshells, I think there is that, the relationship part, you just don't always know where to step in and not. And then when something so traumatic happens, there's more eggshells to walk on, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Deb says she agrees. It's just hard. Like, what is your role? Because I'm a new grandma, and I try not to give too much advice. Today, my daughter-in-law did ask me a question, but it would be hard. It's really hard sometimes just to keep your mouth shut and let them figure it out, right? Because they're going to figure it out on their own. We did. They're going to. But with something like this, was it hard not to want to tell them how to handle this? Or did you not even have anything you wanted to say?
Well, I didn't. I mean, I knew nothing could be done. And if they didn't need something, they would ask.
You know? Yeah.
So it's just, but
I don't think we even knew how to tell them how to handle
right.
it.
Right.
Well, the only advice I could give to Dana was, please don't forget about your other children.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of a trick question. And you passed it. I realized this. I said it. Because if people think that there's advice you can give, you're probably not doing a great role in supporting someone, right? Like, you know, I think there's probably going to be people in your listening audience, Marcy, who are saying, my parents didn't get it right. They came in and told us what to do or how to behave. And so, and you've talked about it too. You've heard a lot of parents.
Yeah. And I had mentioned earlier that in our last grief support group we had, this subject ended up coming up, this subject of grandparent grief. When we're talking about something different entirely, we're talking about kind of anger, but what came up were some of those mistakes that ended up happening in a good way. So here's a good example, I think, is that there was a mom and their daughter had died, and now they're maybe 6-8 weeks later, something like that. There's a sporting event for another daughter, and the grandparents were invited, but then the grandmother went on to invite more extended family, like a lot of family, and the mom felt completely overwhelmed. Like, this was just not okay, because a lot of times when we're especially early in grief, I mean, it lasts a long time for me, being around a lot of people is not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the grandmother just kept thinking, well, this granddaughter deserves to have as many family members as there as possible cheering for her. But yet it was really hard for the mom. So, you know, it all came from a good place initially,
mm-hmm.
but it ended up being kind of the bad thing. And then the grandma got really mad when the mom said, I wish you would have asked me, this is making me really uncomfortable. Then the grandma was mad at her because it was an in-law situation. So I think, like you talked about, sometimes the in-law situation can be more difficult. So it was the mm-hmm. dad's side of the family. And then the grandma wasn't at all then understanding, was just kind of stuck to the point of she needs to have as many people there as possible to show that they love her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it ended up, you know, then making the whole family kind of feeling uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
So, and well, it's just hard. It's just so hard.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things about what you just said, that's where communication really comes in to, you know, communicate, this is what I'd like to do. I was thinking about bringing more people. What do you think? But
right.
Sometimes we just go forward. And, you know, we do have to be forgiving and be grace-filled because, like you said, I don't think their intentions were ill advice at the beginning. They weren't trying to hurt anybody. They were just thinking of the other child and having a lot of people there.
Sure, sure. I mean, I absolutely totally understand where they're coming from, but it ends up creating some friction now.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say something because Melissa wrote in and said, my mother-in-law passed away a few years before Chelsea, and I'm glad it happened that way. Chelsea and my mother-in-law were very close. Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading something up here. After Chelsea passed, then 5 months later, losing my brother, who I took care of while in trying to grieve my daughter's loss. I don't have a relationship with my mom, so she did many horrible things during this time. She never liked my children and acted crazy at Chelsea's funeral. And I see she added to that.
She then said, my mother-in-law passed away a few years before Chelsea, and I'm glad it happened that way. Chelsea and my mother-in-law were very close. And this would have killed her if she was still alive. My mother-in-law always treats me more like a daughter than my mom. I had an amazing mother-in-law. So, yeah, I mean, that's...
I'm kind of confused because I thought it said she acted crazy at Chelsea's funeral.
That was her mom. Her mom.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was confused.
So her mom acted crazy at the funeral.
Yeah.
But her mother-in-law, she was talking about both sets of...
Okay.
Both correct.
Because what I wanted to say about those strained relationships and when someone does act out, and I've had many, many families share with me how, you know, even like I'm talking to a surviving wife and she says, my husband's parents just acted, you know, like it was all about them. There does become this difficult time because everyone is grieving, and sometimes it does bring out, you know, these bad behaviors.
And your grief is about you. Your own personal grief is about you. It's just...
And it is hard because grief focuses us inward and it's very personal. So it's hard for us to have that space for other people to make it about them. But that's why I wanted to ask Dana's parents this one question that just keeps coming to me is, I know you were always concerned about, you know, Dana and her husband and the other children. But did you ever have friends that were concerned just for you that said, how are you doing? Or did you feel lost in the whole thing? And don't feel selfish in saying that if you felt lost.
Well, we did have some people that were very sincere. And we can, you can tell that. But, you know, it faded with other people, you know.
Yeah.
It always does, you know. Nobody, ourselves included, did not understand the depth or magnitude of this kind of a loss.
Right.
We've experienced with friends and other relatives too, but where our hearts would always ache for them, but we never knew the depth and
right
really had to endure.
Yes. That you have can have grace for your friends because you realize that they don't know if they haven't been through it because you didn't know it.
Right. Yeah. They don't. Yeah. And it and luckily they don't ever experience it, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't talk about it, or I feel like I want to, but I feel like they don't want to really hear about it, so I can stop it. And then I feel like I'm lonely.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes I feel that way.
Yeah, because you probably also don't want to do your pain to your own daughter because she's carrying her own. That was cold. And sometimes we do have to say, well, I want someone to ask how I'm doing. And we have to find a place that just is for us to do our grief work because we don't want to put it on our children who are grieving, but you have pain too. And like you said, lonely and want to talk about it and your friends don't understand. So it probably feels very lonely. Like that was a great word.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And I think about my own in-laws, and I'm sad to say that we don't talk about Annie very much. And my father-in-law will send an email, like he sent an email on Annie's birthday last week, kind of towards the end of the day. He will reach out periodically, but it's just so painful for them to bring it up. And I think they see me get upset and they don't want to get me upset. And so then they just don't say anything, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if you can relate to that at all, but.
Yeah. I mean, like last week we were at grandparents' day and I didn't think it was going to hit me like it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like they said a prayer thanking God for all of our great grandchildren. And I am thankful for all of them, but it was at Rowan school, you know, and it was great. He would have been past that stage. It was the two younger siblings that were there. And I didn't think it was going to hit me like it did. All of a sudden, it just hit.
Wow.
I mean, memories are so great, but yet they're so painful.
So painful.
Let me ask this. Did you tell anyone that? Like, Dana, is that the first time you're hearing that Grandparents' Day was hard for your mom? That's your first time?
Yeah.
Did you tell your husband?
Yeah,
actually, we saw and Mark was there. I knew.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You knew the button was pushed, right?
Pardon?
You knew that button was pushed. That's not
sure. And, you know, some things you expect to trigger those kind of feelings and memories, but sometimes other things out of the blue are just come along and you never know what or when it's going to trigger some pain. Like you said, your son's 20th birthday, Andy's 20th, you know, was very difficult for you. And rightly so, it can be very much expected, but there's always other things too that bring reminders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
we are somewhat able sometimes to mix laughter with tears.
Yeah.
How to this time, you know, not saying it gets any easier, but it more endurance of it. I don't know what the words are to explain why that can be, but it is.
So I'm going to put your family on the spot a little bit, Dana, and just like I'm sure early in grief, it's hard to carry other people's stuff. But if your mom had told you that was hard, how would you have received that? Would that have been okay, or would that? Do you not want to know that stuff? And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. I'm just not putting you. I think just having this honest conversation helps other families.
I agree. And it's certainly not that I don't want her to tell me things or don't want her to. I want her to feel like she can come to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the helplessness goes both ways. Like I know they're hurting and I can't fix it for them either.
Right.
And my thoughts are, don't be concerned for us.
Yeah. Right. That's your dad's loving protectiveness right there. I can see that in him from the moment he first talked, and that's what that is. And that's a good dad. But there are times, just as you mentioned, that families laugh together. We do cry together. And when our other children can see that we can share, today was, there was rough parts to Grandparents' Day for Grandma,
And there were good parts about it. And then they know that other days moving forward when they have rough parts. So I'm just trying to teach, like, as a whole family system for people listening, because many people inside of families think, I want to protect this person from my pain. But that goes down to all the generations then, and kids learn that. And so we want to give them some of that. Again, not all of our adult pain do we dump on our children, but no. We can start talking about, yeah, grandma had one of those.
Yeah, I think letting people know that a little is helpful. Like, mm-hmm. I've never once heard my dad say that he's had a hard time with Andy dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really hard for me. And I know he's trying to protect me, and I know he loves me, and I know that if I'm sad and he sees my sadness, all he wants to do is make it better. Mm-hmm. And that's just his instinct as a dad. He wants to make it better. But I would like to hear once that he missed him. I would like to hear, it would have been great to see him graduate from high school today. I would have liked to have him hear him say, you know, Grandparents Day made me think of Andy today.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I've never heard that. So, you know, it's so funny because I think back to like when Andy died, you know, I needed people to comfort me, but I could see people upset, but you don't want to get upset to the point where you're comforting them, right? Our Andy's pediatrician was obviously a coworker of mine, and she started sobbing to the point where she was sobbing in my daughter's arms, and which made her feel really uncomfortable. Like, why am I feeling like I'm comforting my pediatrician when my brother just died? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that way, you feel like, as grandparents, you feel like, I want to show that, but I can't show that to the point where, like, Dana's having to hold me up here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you want to be the one helping hold her up, but yet you're still broken too. So it's
right.
Such a balance, you know?
It is. And at the beginning, with all those raw feelings, that's where it's really hard because no one knows where they can put them. But over time, like we're just talking about now, to be able, when a moment does come up, like the beautiful example of Grandparents Day, to be able to speak that to each other, that gives that acknowledgement, and it's not that intense emotion that there is at the beginning, because that would be too hard. That's why I was asking Dana, like, how would you have perceived that, to hear that your mom had a tough time, because it's this many years out and we're in a different place? Because I have people say to me, you know, this, what you just said, Marcy, is I can't take their pain, and that, you know, I
right.
can't do with it.
So that's why I said it's like a balancing.
Mm-hmm. Act, right? Yeah.
And so the Deb that's commenting, mm-hmm. Deb Schaefer that's commenting, that is related to you as well, Dana, right?
Yeah.
Is that your mother-in-law?
Sure.
Yep, that's what I was guessing. So,
yeah. Her parent in law.
She's been making some comments too. She said one of the hardest parts as a parent in law, grandparent, is you want to protect your children and you just don't know how. And I mm-hmm. think that's just such a good point.
Yep. That's why, you know, that question sometimes, just having someone who asks you, how are you doing? I think we all in a family, I always tell them to provide somebody outside the family for each person that's your go-to person that you can just dump on, other than inside the family, because the less you feel understood, the less capacity you have to be understanding. So if you feel like no one's understanding me and my pain, you're not going to grasp theirs either, right? So that's why we have to go outside of the family. And I even say, like, for surviving kids, you say, okay, who's going to be your safe person that you can talk to? That, and I tell that person, you're my child's safe person that they can dump on. And I need you to check in on them once in a while to ask them how they're doing. Because it was months after my father-in-law died and my husband, and he died suddenly. And, you know, my mother-in-law lives across the street. They were here every day. My kids were with him every day. He said, no one asked me how I was. And then he kind of went a little bit further. And you're the grief counselor and you haven't asked me. And I said, I am trying to hold this entire family together. But then I started thinking about the fact that he needed someone too, just to say, so I told one of his friends, check on him,
ask him how he's doing, because I can't right now. I got my mother-in-law, I got my kids.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Sure. We had another couple other questions that I posted, and I had some answers too, but I wanted to ask you first, was how is your role as a grandparent felt like it's changed now than what it was before?
I don't think so. I mean, we still celebrate the good and support the extracurricular activities. You know, the sports are the biggest thing. Maybe that's the right order to put them in, but, you know, the plays, the everything we do, still see as many of them as we can, you know, for both Dana's kids and our other children.
Mm-hmm.
It can change, yes. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
You know, but we thought the right thing before this with all the kids and grandkids, and the fact that there's one less, and it's a deep pain that is always there. So, but
Karen had written to me with something from her mother, and she said is, with her role as a grandparent, she said, "I feel incomplete now." So she doesn't feel like a complete grandparent anymore. When my other grandchildren are about, I feel like there is something important missing. And maybe that that something is more important than the rest. The pictures, which are fewer than before, are incomplete. The table, which we try to set a place for Ashley, is incomplete. I'm always looking to take a picture of the four of them with the baby on Ashley's lap or in her arms, and I can't do that anymore. I would like to wrap my arms around all of them, but I can't. So I guess that's where she went with that. Do you feel that too a little bit? That just the incompleteness?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a little different way to look at the question.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we asked the question specifically your role as a grandparent, but grief does change us. So it changes us, maybe not our role, but it changes how we interact with people, what we appreciate about life, how we treasure things. And maybe, you know, you mentioned about going to all of the activities. Have they become even sweeter now that it's important that you go because you realize how precious life is and how much those things really matter?
Yes.
Yeah. Because death does teach us that. Like, I want to be there for the people in my life because we don't know.
I know for quite a while after that, I always thought to myself, I wish I could go back to the person I used to be.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, that you've changed that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. How do you feel like you've changed?
And maybe I kind of wave it back and forth. Is it because I'm getting older too? I'm more tired. I don't enjoy the things I used to.
Yeah.
But I see it slowly coming back. You know, but at first, I mean, one thing when COVID hit right after Robin passed, I was okay with that. Nobody could go nowhere. We didn't have to go nowhere anyway. So like people said to me the other day, oh, that COVID just got to me because we couldn't go nowhere. I said, well, it didn't bother us at all because
you didn't want to anyway.
No, we didn't want to.
Yeah. But I think to your point, and, you know, I was kind of chuckling because we do at certain ages go, is this my age or... But grief is exhausting and it is heavy and it does affect us physically. And so I noticed that as people get older, it's harder physically to grieve.
Yeah.
We don't have the same bounce back. I think it's an aunt here that says, as an aunt, I feel like 100% with my own children and how broken would be protecting, playing and holding my children. Yeah. And then Melissa said, I agree, COVID saved us.
Well, I want to say too about that. How have you changed? How has this changed you? Is this Karen's mom wrote, how I've changed, there's much less to look forward to. And I'm a look forward to person, planning and going and doing and being, because all the reasons for us to be together have a sad component. The number of times I've said to myself and out loud how much Ashley would have loved to be here with us or with me. We had a very special relationship. It is one that I miss each and every day. I so want to have her on the couch next to me so we can talk about all the things. I don't have that with anyone else except Karen. That's her daughter. But that's not my role as a grandmother, but as a mother. So just missing that.
Right. And that's what Emily was saying there. Like, you know, he's always missed as a part of their family. Like, where would he be interacting with cousins? And
The last thing was about, but the most challenging thing about a grieving grandparent is worrying about Karen every single solitary day. What can I do to make it better for her? What shouldn't I do to make it harder for her? What should I leave out and what should I include? I want to somehow ensure Karen will never learn to live her life without Ashley and that Ashley will be a part of her life forever. And living without her will be the most difficult thing she will have to endure. But what, if anything, can I do? If I close my eyes, can I picture Karen in years to come and that Karen and Mark and Parker will be able to include Ashley with a smile and without tears? That is the hardest thing, is really, I mean, even though she misses her terribly, the very hardest thing is that just constant worry about her own daughter.
Yeah.
And their life.
But what I loved what she said, and Dana's dad said the same thing, is just like not wanting to make it harder. Like he knew there was nothing to do, they could do, and they didn't give any unsolicited advice. But a lot of people don't have that filter. They don't have the filter to say, is this going to be a burden or is this going to be, I feel bad because there's probably a lot of grievers and a lot of listeners whose parents did dump on them or give them, they made it harder. Let's be honest, they've made it harder, and that this is hard for families to go through. But when someone in your family is making it harder for you, I shared this story with Marcy in the fact that I had a woman whose husband died, and she said, I'm just not doing very well. I can't cry. So I went to her house and we were visiting, and I said, well, were you a very big crier? Maybe, you know, not everyone cries. So I said, have you had a loss before? And she started telling me about the fact that she had a baby who died at birth. And her husband was in the military and he was overseas. And so she was all alone in the hospital holding her deceased child. And they called her mom. And she remembers thinking, when my mom comes, I'm just going to be able to break down and my mom's going to put her arms around me. And I told Marcy, it was years later. And she just described in detail that moment of hearing her mom come down the hallway and actually seeing her mom's legs underneath the hospital curtain. So she could see her before, you know, parts of her, and she knew, and she was waiting, and the curtain pulled open and she was just waiting for that release. And her mother looked at her and said, we're not crying about this. And she held that in, like that was the message she got. So now all these years later, when her husband died, she still had that message right here. And we had to go and undo that message that her mom did that made it so hard for her when her child died, that did not serve her well for all these years. And that happens a lot. And so those of you who are carrying a message that someone, especially someone in authority, our parents, grandparents have said to us, we have to go back and undo that.
And I love that you don't have that situation.
Right. That's what I'm saying. She's so blessed.
Clearly you don't, or you wouldn't have all agreed to come on
right.
and open up like this. So, but could we talk a little bit about your relationship? Do you feel like, Dana, do you feel like your relationship's changed a little bit with your own parents?
I think so. I don't know why, but I feel like I somehow let them down.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, why do you feel that way?
No, you did everything right.
Yeah.
You can't have those feelings, or there can be no blame or no thought like that. It's just the farthest thing from truth.
Yeah.
But it's a hard thing to say, Dana.
Yeah,
but I'm
is.
Really glad that you
did.
Yeah,
because I think it right. really helped.
But just to understand that that's what she carries, even though you don't want her to carry it, it is what she carries. And to hear yeah. that and be able to just reassure her that you don't hold her in that way. But I think it's another thing is that she's probably always wanted, or maybe has she, mom and dad, been the kind of child that always wanted to please you and just do things right? You know, has that been her role even before this?
Yeah.
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 I'm a people pleaser.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and you always wanted to make your mom and dad proud of you, right?
Yeah.
You wanted to do the right thing, and they are still,
right?
You are proud.
And just need to hear that. And you know, the hard part is we don't always have to we can't understand why people feel what they feel, but we have to accept it. We have to have a space for it. We have to talk about it, but then we can talk through that. And today, it's probably going to be more healing for your family altogether. Maybe some families that are listening that realize they have to have some of those tough conversations
I just love that you opened up like that to Dana. Yeah. And I really hope that this can help other people do the same thing. And to say, if you have to say to your parents, I feel like I've disappointed you. I feel like, you know, for you for, to say that, not like anything that they've done specifically, but that's the feeling that you hold. I mean, gosh, that can be really kind of open up some conversation, right?
Mm-hmm. I have a really odd example, but I was just digging for it. If you guys will allow me a teachable moment with families. And it was not a death experience, but very quickly we had to move my parents from their home into an assisted living. My dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And so we only had a week that I was there, and we got a dumpster and we had all these piles. Well, my brother's a very task oriented, let's, you know, do this. And he just went into the house and started dumping stuff. And my mom, you know, was acting, it was just really hard for her, and she likes to keep things. And they didn't make sense. Like, you don't have to keep these things. So I can see both sides. My brother's like, the ski coat from 1972, you're not going to wear anymore. Let's dump the ski coat, right? But what I realized is that I had to listen first before I could take action. So I had to listen to what she was feeling about all that stuff going into the dumpster. And then once I listened, I'd look at it and I go, now, do we need this? And maybe it's time to let go of it. And she'd say, yeah, you're right. But I had to do that with every item. And my brother would stand and just wait until I gave him the okay. But the item that I'm holding, I don't know if you guys can see this.
Yes, we can.
It is from Avon, and this held lip gloss. That's lip
strawberry that held lip gloss, yeah, for all the people that
remember this
thing.
Yes, it is from Avon. And my mom had it in a bowl. And she said, oh, don't throw the strawberry out. And I said, Mom, what's up with the strawberry? She had a red bathroom. And she said, well, it always fit in that cute little bowl because it's just perfect. It was just really cute there. And I said, well, we're not going to have a red bathroom and lip gloss from 19, you know. And then we had to hold the space. So I didn't throw it out. I kept it to realize that even though I didn't understand, and this just seems like old yucky lip gloss that you just lost, it meant something to her. And without going into too many family dynamics, my mom had nothing as a child, was extremely poor and impoverished in everything she got. But do you see how much time and energy that took? And I wasn't bereaved, and I wasn't hurting myself, and I had the emotional maturity to stand there and do all that hard work with her. And then I think about my clients and the people I work with. You're at your least emotional, right? Or least emotional ability to hold anyone up, to have those conversations, but it does do us good. So I think this open communication is what I'm getting to is good. It can move us. We can have these things, and they're not always easy, but they do help us see where everyone's at. And then we can say, what are we going to do with this now?
Yeah. And I'm going to bring up one more thing that is a difficult thing for our family, and that my mother-in-law is suffering from dementia.
Wow.
And I have such a huge fear that she will forget him altogether.
Mm.
Because there are times when she's not having a good day and she doesn't know who I am, or she doesn't recognize my daughter, or, you know, she always seems to know Eric, and she always, I mean, there are times when she doesn't recognize her husband. So sometimes I'm afraid to bring Andy up because I'm so scared that she won't even know who he is anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's a whole other kind of thing. That I know other people experience that too. When you have someone in the family, if they now get to the point where they don't remember them, that's hard.
Right. I thought you were going to say she didn't remember he had died. Like, no. Looking for him around, you know, because I've had people do that.
Yeah, he has person, never done that.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, it's just, she gets by. So sometimes you just can't even really tell until she acts like she doesn't know who we are. But
yeah.
It's always just scared me a little bit that I just don't know.
Well, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but maybe that woman, the pain is over for her.
Yeah, I know.
That's yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I know. For her, it will be kind of better, right?
You know, an odd thing to say or think, but it, in a way, it's...
Oh, wow. That's getting a bit more frail. I don't know how much longer she has. A little bit of me gets a little jealous, right?
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, she'll be the first to meet him.
Yeah, I had that thought too. And I love what you said, you know, like sometimes not being able to recall the pain of life is a blessing. But Brogan's other grandfather, my husband, Deb wrote, also has dementia. Brogan and our other grandchildren are what he remembers most. And that is so beautiful. Yeah, so beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Well, I don't know if there are kind of there are other thoughts you had. I know you had some other things that you kind of.
I think we talked about them, you know, and just that being as open as we can and not expecting to always understand, but accept why someone feels what they feel.
Yeah.
Being able to say, this is how I feel. I mean, it kind of goes in everything, right? It goes with politics. It goes with other things. Like, we're not always going to agree, but this is where I'm at. This is where you're at. But it's the same with grief. And sometimes we just have to have those hard conversations and just say, I'm having a tough time. And I've said this before, but I always try to name those moments, the grandparent day moments that you mentioned about where grief just hits you. And Brogan was just that soft spot, was just touched and bumped, that we have a word for that. And then we can say, I had that kind of day or moment. Now, their son loved the color orange, so they just say, I had an orange today. And most people might think they're talking about the fruit with all the sections, but they're saying, no, they had that memory. And we called them in our family Peppa moments, that if you have a moment where just something overwhelms you, so we name it, and then we don't have to be afraid of it anymore. And we can just say, I had that kind of moment. So I encourage all families to name it, so that we all know what we're talking about, because we all have it. We all have it.
Yeah. And we've taken to doing that in my family too, just having an Andy moment, an Andy day. And we just use Andy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we can kind of understand where the other people are.
Ginger, she founded a camp for bereaved children, and her son died. He was about 20. Ginger called them thumper bumpers. Why she came up with that is when you bump your thumb when it's been hurt and then it just throbs, and then you bump it again and it throbs. When she thought of her son or those things hit her, she just called him a thumb bumper. And that was her way, you know, so I've heard many different things.
But I think you're right in that the communication is the biggest thing to try to be able to talk as a family.
Yeah.
Any other things you wanted to talk about, Dana? Because I feel like I haven't heard much from you.
I don't know. I wish as a family, we all talked about Brogan more. I feel like we don't a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all know the pain that we have.
Yes.
You know, for each other. And as much as you tell me not to worry about you guys, you know,
well,
I love you. And
yeah, we know. And
yeah.
We'll be all right.
We'll be okay.
We'll be okay.
Well, I will. But, right. But what I heard her saying is, because you're all hurting, that's real and that's there, and you know that, and you're saying not worry about each other, but speaking his name more and being able to talk about it would be value for all of you. So when you have those moments, you can talk about it. Hey, I had a memory today, or I was thinking this or that happened. We want that kind of to be able to have them part of our life, even though it's
every day. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it's wonderful that you bring that up, Dana, because we've talked about this many times, Gwen, that when you have like other kids in the home, that oftentimes what the kids will do is they will not show their grief to the parents until they know that the parent is okay.
Yeah.
I've always thought of that in the context of little kids who have lost their siblings. I've never thought about it in the context of a grandparent. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the same.
I do too.
I think Dana's role is just like what Peter and Catherine did to me, is that they did not want to show me how bad they were hurting until they thought maybe I could be able to handle it. They're still like that today. Still, they don't want to always tell me things because they're not sure I can handle it. So it's like that's what kids do. You know, parents try to protect their kids. But kids try to protect their parents in the same way.
Oh, yeah.
So I never, ever thought about it in this context before, but I'm so glad you said that, Dana.
You were going to say something else, Dana, before Marcy started talking. Do you remember what it was?
Just that I wish we could talk about Robin and have like happy memories. I know we do, but it just seems like when we do talk about him, it's sad. It hurts sad.
Yes. It hurts sad. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, of course it's going to be, but I just wish that we could like talk about him and not feel or take on each other's pain when we talk about him. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yes. And I think the more you do it, it becomes more comfortable. But right now it's so fresh and new and it's outside of your family comfort level. So it just makes everyone, and you're a very sensitive family and you care so much for each other that you're feeling each other's pain. And then you're crying, she's crying, everyone's crying. But I think that is okay. And again, just to, here we go, you know, but don't let that keep you from sharing.
Right.
And
I think too, is trying to hopefully open that up for everybody to now talk about Brogan a little more. Those, you know, the siblings too, and everybody to be able to say when they think of something funny, right? Or when they think of some experience, to try to make that more kind of open. Okay. And then we have another comment.
Says we have 7 grandkids, but we lost our precious Evan just 5 months ago in a tragic accident. The sad part is that it could have been avoided. This was not his fault. Evan died the day after his 18th birthday, celebrated with the entire family as everyone is too. The next day he was here with other cousins as a normal routine, prepping for Thanksgiving. He left at 3. At 6, we got the call from our daughter. In shock isn't even the right word. There is nothing to prepare us for this. We just, and I touched it because I was trying to go up on my screen, but I don't think there's anything else. Am I missing something?
No.
Okay.
I think there's just no words.
Right. No words.
Nothing to prepare for this. There's
The shock. Yeah.
And you're right. And it is just shock to trying to kind of put your head around it. Right. And everybody's still in shock too.
Yeah.
5 months. Goodness. Everybody's just fresh and suffering. So hopefully this can help Diana kind of see some things too. And
right.
How we can kind of help each other.
She said there's more talking about how we are coping.
There is.
It is very hard. It is very hard because grief turns us inward and we think of ourselves, but yet we're part of a family unit, and to try to check in with everyone, what does that do? I always tell people, this is why it's really good as families to come up with a system before something bad happens where we talk about things, you know, the best part of our day, the worst part of our day. We have ways that we communicate so that when life gets bad, we can still have a way to communicate. So sometimes we're having to start at square one when tragedy hits because we're not used to talking this way.
So now Emily wrote, moments of joy for me are when Dutton wears Brogan's things. Just this weekend, he wore his apron Grandma Debbie made. Oh, Grandma Debbie right here with us. I try to make these moments as happy as they can be. So I'm glad too that when you can see Brogan in the present, or when I can see Andy, you know, being thought about in the present, it is a helpful thing. We are out of time here and we should probably get going. Any other parting words that you want to say, Gwen?
Oh, just how brave you guys are. I, you know, at the beginning I was talking about how Mercy risks, you know, sharing her heart each week. You guys did that, and there is something good and growth happens when we risk telling someone who we really are.
Yes.
And so you're not going to regret the sharing. I don't believe you will. And for each one of us to have someone that we can tell who we really are and what we're feeling, we just thank you guys for making us part of that tonight and allowing us to have this conversation. You're brave.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank you too for all the help you've given, being assured, and for any other people.
And thank you again. I just thank you all for coming on and opening up your hearts and really letting us kind of step in and see that relationship. And I really do think this will help other families
to be able to understand each other a little better too.
Well, you know, your dad thanking everyone for, you know, the helping you, Dana. It's the bond that you moms have that you can talk and share and have these open conversations, but how they translate back to our families is what we're trying to figure out too, right? You want to have the same openness that you can tell Marcy about your day and how you're feeling, or, you know, what you're thinking about, how hard it is to tell your family. So we want to, and not that I'm not saying anything bad about your family, that your family's wrong. It's just natural. That's, so we're just hoping we can all translate that back over. But the bond that you ladies have is incredible.
Right. And one
yeah.
To say in closing that I just sort of realized as we were doing this, and maybe it will be helpful to other people and hopefully it'll be helpful to us. But I remember the first Christmas without Brogan. I just knew, figured everybody was going to be exchanging memorable gifts that were really significant about Brogan. And I just remember saying, it's Christmas and I don't want to be sad. So let's do all the sad gifts now. Do them first.
Uh-huh.
And then let's try to be happy. Asking, telling you guys, we can just do that, like set some space to be sad, but make sure that we're happy too.
Yeah. Did it work? Dana, did it work?
It didn't work. We all exchanged our sad gifts and kind of got our crying out and the fun gift.
Well, then it looks like your family could have a pattern. Let's do the sad first. Sad first.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's acknowledge it. Yep. And then let's allow ourselves to enjoy what we have now. We want to treasure and talk about what we've lost and what hurts us all. But then for the rest of the day, then we can talk about what we have. You know, it becomes, you know, we have to acknowledge what's lost, because then we also have to acknowledge what's left. And then as we begin to heal, we can begin thinking about what's possible.
Thank you.
That's
beautiful. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found this helpful and would like to support the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating and comment. To help financially, you can type Andy's Mom, one word, to the number 53555. This provides a link to GiveButter, which allows donations through PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay, or credit cards. GiveButter will provide a receipt of your tax-deductible donation. Or you can visit the donation page at andysmom.com/donate. Always Andy's Mom is a registered 501c3 and can receive donations through Thrivent Financial and Benevity. Marcy loves hearing from listeners. Please feel free to reach out to her via email at marcy@andysmom.com or on the Instagram or Facebook Always Andy's Mom accounts. Sign up for the email list to get weekly episode links as well as pictures of Marcy's guests and their children. Together, let's work to inspire hope one day at a time.